turn to the Gospel according to St. John. I'll be reading out of the 19th chapter and also 1 Corinthians 15th chapter that you've already heard in your hearing. The 19th chapter of St. John, beginning at verse 30. The Bible reads, "When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, 'It is finished.' And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that the Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other, which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water." 1 Corinthians 15, beginning at verse 54. "So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, 'Death is swallowed up in victory.' O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." The base of those verses, we like to use a thought or subject this morning: the ultimate victory over death. The ultimate victory over death. Hallelujah. Had he not been with you, you could have been dead and gone this morning. Had he not been with us, we would have no hope whatsoever. But he said it, and we ought to believe it this morning and know that God can do just what he said that he would do. We give honor to the Lord this morning, and I thank God for Jesus this morning. It's Easter Sunday morning. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. That ought to mean something to a believer this morning. That ought to mean something to somebody that said that Jesus died for your sin. I wonder, is there anybody in here this morning that truly and honestly believe that Jesus went to Calvary and died for your sins? And if you believe that he died for your sins, then don't you believe that you owe him a praise this morning? Don't you owe him a praise? Hallelujah! Somebody ought to give God some praise this morning. Somebody ought to give him some praise this morning. There's no harm in praising the Lord. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that God has done for me, my soul cries out. My soul cries out. My soul cries out. Hallelujah! Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Anybody come to church this morning to tell God thank you? Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. See, if you're not a believer, if you're not even trying to get there, then this might not mean nothing to you. But if you know where you come from, if you know who it was that brought you over, hallelujah! If you know who it is that is in your bedroom, in your sick room, late in the midnight hour, hallelujah, Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. There ought to be a hallelujah praise in you this morning. The God that I serve is not dead. He is yet still alive.
I can feel him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We thank God this morning for his presence. We thank him for his spirit. And don't nobody know like you know how the Lord came into your secret closet and began to minister to your very need. You can call on him when you can't call on anybody else. What I'm so glad about is that he will come to your rescue. I thank God for you that have been supportive all week long, and it's almost like we've been in revival this week. Hallelujah, Jesus. But I thank God for every message, every messenger. I thank God for all of the testimonies and the songs, and I thank God for the people of God. Don't you know that when the Bible declares that God created everything from nothing, and then his very special creation was mankind, he made us for a purpose. And we ought to be thankful that we are who we are, regardless of who someone else may think about you. Be thankful for who you are. Know that God made you from the dust of the ground, and God knows your uprising and your down-sitting. God knows your good and your bad. God knows every imperfection that might be a part of our lives, but God also knows the good qualities that you possess. And God also knows that sometimes people don't really read you right. They just look at the outside cover, but they don't exactly know what's going on the inside. And how many of you know that sometimes you just got to believe in the power of God? You can't try to people please. You can't try to depend on what they say, but what does he say? When he said that it's going to be all right, we got to believe it's going to be all right. Walking by faith is more than just saying the words. You got to really walk by faith. And sometimes in walking by faith, that's like walking in as a blind man or a blind woman. And as you walk in the blind, you don't know what you might run into. But the faith that you have in God lets you know that whatever it is, I'm going to be protected. Whatever it is, I'm going to be all right because I have a Savior that watches over me. I have a Savior that has promised never to leave me, that he would go with me all the way. And that Savior has blessed us and allowed us another opportunity to come on another Easter Sunday morning to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Once again, it's only by his grace and his mercy that we are able to come together as believers this morning. Too many times we think that we have accomplished things on our own, but we got to give credit where credit is due. Everything that we have come from the Lord our God, and he gives us our strength. And the Bible declares, without him, we would not even have our being. In other words, we could not move if it wasn't for the Lord. We couldn't talk if it wasn't for the power of God. So I thank God. I thank God for Jesus because not only did he come to save us, but he came to provide hope for us that we would have a better today and even a better tomorrow. You know how sometimes you get a little weary about the things that are going on in your life, but you know that somebody said trouble don't last always. Trouble will go on its way. And because trouble don't last always, it gives one a mind to just praise him and wait on him and know that he will come. Today, as believers, we should be full of joy. We should be full of thanksgiving. We should be glad to be in the house of God one more time. When we think about his precious blood, I believe that too many times we take it too lightly. We've gotten too accustomed to being blessed. We've gotten too accustomed to thinking about getting up and being able to get up. We think about where we want to go and we go there. We think about what we want to eat and we sit down and we eat that. But there's going to come a time when you're going to have the thought, but you cannot follow through. Anybody know what I'm talking about? There's going to come a time when you're hungry. Your stomach might be even growling, but you still don't have an appetite to eat. Anybody ever been in that place where you know that you need to put something in, but you just don't feel like eating anything? And there are some folk that are laid upon a bed of affliction, and we tell them and we encourage them to eat something. You got to eat something to build up your strength, and you got to know where your strength comes from. You got to know that God will make a way out of no way. You got to know that on those days when you don't feel like it, just try just a little bit. Have you ever seen a loved one and you just been sort of laboring with them and asking them and begging them, please just try to get down just a little bit. And if you get down a little bit, you just make me so happy, because what you want them to do is get better. And there comes a time that in order to get better, you got to know what condition you're in. We got to understand that if you want to be strong, if you want to be a better person than you are, you got to let God down on the inside. You can't do it all by yourself. It's not all about you. It's not about where you went to school. It's not about what kind of job you got. It's not about your nice car or what kind of house you live in. It's not about how clean you be when you come out the house, but it's about what's going on the inside of that heart of yours. You know how it is. Sometimes we hit in here and we let it go right back out. But there's something you ought to try to hold on to. Some things you ought to be like a sponge. You ought to try to just absorb some things and hold on to some things. Anybody ever felt like just praising the Lord our God and you just didn't physically feel it? But how many of you know that God will give you that strength back? God has a way of renewing your strength, and God will do just what he said that he would do. All week long, we've been in fellowship one with another, with our brothers and sisters all over the community, and we wasn't worried about who it was preaching. We weren't worried about what church house we were in. All we wanted to do was just get together, because the Bible declares where two or three get together, that he would be in the midst. And I don't know about you, but I felt the presence of God all week long. God bless us all. We can God bless us real high this morning. In fact, we got fed so good, I felt like not coming. I thought I was going to just have to play what Reverend Miller preached this morning. Hallelujah. There comes a time that a preacher got to be preached to. And when you get preached to, you ought to hear what thus said the Lord our God. Don't get to thinking just because you get up and got a testimony, you saved and sanctified, you still don't need prayer. Don't think that you done already arrived just because you got a little joy in your life. Don't think that it's already done just because you can say, I'm on the church roll. It's more to being a member than being on the church roll. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, I know you're going to help me this morning. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Whew. As we fellowship throughout this week, we've enjoyed remembering and sort of just going back and revisiting some of the things that Jesus went through on that last week that he walked upon the earth. Last week, as we talked about his triumphal entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday and how the people all praised him. Then Monday night, he went in and he had to clean out the temple and get rid of the money changers and the shoppers and had to get rid of all of those that had made his house a den of thieves. And he even got to a place where he turned over the tables and he had to get his house back in order. Tuesday, he was questioned by the Sanhedrin religious leaders, and Judas made a bargain with the Jewish rulers to betray him. And on that Tuesday, they began to ask the Lord, Lord, what gives you the authority to say that you are Jesus the Christ? What gives you the authority to walk around like you walk around? What gives you the authority to think that somebody ought to consider you King of Kings when you are a carpenter's son? What gives you the authority to come in here and tell us that we ought to do it this way or do it that way? What gives you the authority to go into our church yesterday and turn over all of the tables and act like we wasn't even there? But God had that authority because he has all power in his hand. Then on Wednesday, the Bible doesn't give any definiteness. But what I'd like to think is that there was some preparation and prayer going on. He was still teaching in the temple and he was giving instructions to the disciples. Don't you know? He told the disciples, you need to go and get ready for the Passover. I want you to go because there's a house that we got to go to. And all you got to do is when you get there, you're going to see a woman with a pot on her head. Just follow the water pot. And wherever she go, you go there in. And when you get in there, tell the man that you come to see about where God and Jesus is going to have the Passover, and he'll show you an upper room. God has the power of knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to send to have it done. Sometimes you try to question who God sent, but it's not for you to question. God can use whomsoever he will. So we find that on that Wednesday, they were making preparations, and we just thank God for the things that was yet still to come. Now, Thursday was a great day. Jesus eats the Passover meal in the upper room with his disciples. On Thursday, he institutes the memorial supper, which we still partake of today when we have our bread and when we have our wine to symbolize the body and the blood of Jesus. And I wonder, when we take communion, do we really think about Calvary? Do we really think about his body being broken for us? The Bible said that he took a piece of bread and after he had given thanks, he broke it and said, eat, this is my body that is broken for you. But do you just eat the bread because the pastor said this is what we are supposed to do? Or do you realize that you are eating or partaking a part of the body of Christ? So now if you take part of the body of Christ who has all power and put it inside your system, it ought to give you a little more power. Anybody hear me this morning? We got to think about it. On that Thursday, there were some things going on. We know that death is getting close. But the Bible says that even on that Thursday, Jesus strayed away and went out into the Garden of Gethsemane and he began to pray for the disciples. Because you know how it is, if I know when I'm going to die, then I'll get Tamara and Keisha together and let them know I got one more week. And you better get your house in order. You better learn how to do this and learn how to do that because I'm going to be gone in a few more days. And see, this is what the Lord God is doing. But God realized that they are not going to really understand after I'm gone how much they're going to miss me. So I better go away and I better pray for them now because they're going to need me when I'm gone. You ever heard somebody say you don't miss your water till it run dry? When your well run dry, you start looking for some more water. But I thank God that when God was making the preparation and letting them know, he realized that I got to steal away. And I got to let them know that they got to get themselves in order. And then if you remember the story, as Jesus was in the garden praying, and every time he come back, they check on them. Them low-down folk was sitting up in there. Knocked out. Let me see. Anybody in here sleepy this morning? Anybody in here feel a little weary this morning? Don't you know I don't have to preach from the pulpit? I can preach from sitting right there by you. Now, I got a manuscript, but it's just a guideline. What I got to say is right down here on the inside. So don't get creepy on me this morning. It's Easter Sunday morning. And the saints of God ought to be ready to praise him. Why you think Jesus went to preach and to pray for the disciples? Because he knew that they were going to get weak. Three different praying times, and every time he come back, they were asleep. And the Lord said, oh, ye of little faith. Can't even trust you to stay woke while I pray. The Lord didn't have no good help. So what make me think I'm going to have good help? Jesus didn't go sit down because they were asleep. He told him about it and he still went on about what he needed to do. That's what you got to learn how to do. Stop complaining about what they say and what they're not doing and you do what you're supposed to do. If everybody in here do their part, then they won't have time to even realize that other sister didn't do her part. Friday. Friday was a full day. Friday he was betrayed. Arrested early in the morning in that same garden that he was praying in. Questioned by Annas, the high priest. Then he was condemned by the Sanhedrin. Judas became overwhelmed because of what he had done. And Judas committed suicide. On Friday, he was sentenced to death by Pilate. Mocked and crucified and hung between two thieves. The veil of the temple was torn. And Jesus died. Buried in a tomb. A borrowed tomb that was supposed to be for Joseph. But let us think. Friday now. He's dead. And this morning we want to talk about the victory over death. Now victory means to defeat of an enemy or opponent. Success in a struggle against difficulties or an obstacle. Success in a contest or a triumph. So when you get the victory, something has been defeated. When you have the victory, you can be considered a winner. Now, we live in the midst of a whole lot of folk that society would call you a loser. But if you are a believer this morning, then you are victorious and you are a winner this morning. The way that you're won is because your sins have not killed you to the point to where you're going to die and stay dead. But now, death means the act of dying, the end of life, or the state of being dead. Dead is just dead. Jesus was crucified on the cross. We don't have folk being crucified on the cross like that now. They get shot down, they get cut up, they get choked, they get stabbed, they get all kinds of things, car accident, heart attack, whole lot of things taking us out now. And as soon as we hear that somebody died, the first thing we want to know, how did they die? Why? You're knowing how is it going to change anything? Not trying to be funny or small, but a lot of times they hide that child. I say, he's just dead. Don't make no difference. We are too nosy for our own good. If you had some type of resurrecting power, then it might be necessary for you to know how someone died. Some people ask questions and they're not nurses. They're not doctors. They don't know anything about the body. But anyway, dead is dead. But now, why did he have to die? We know that he had all power. We know that he could have come down. We know that he was born to save us from our sins. But in order for sins to be atoned for and forgiven, there had to be bloodshed. That's why before he came in the flesh, the people of God had to sacrifice animals as a burnt offering sacrifice to the Lord. But this was something that had to be done over and over again. But when we think about the blood of Jesus, his blood was sufficient to cleanse all of us, and he didn't have to do it but one time. He had to die because of sin. Now, let us go back. Find out what's going on here. The Bible says, and he said, who told thee that thou was naked? Has thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to me with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Well, the Bible says that the Lord our God said that because of this, in the sweat of thy face shall thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it was thou taken, from dust thou art, and unto dust shall thy return. So what we see here is, as even though God formed man from the dust of the ground and made man, he took man, put him into a garden, and gave him a commandment. And God commanded the man, said, of every tree of the garden you should eat freely, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil shall thou not eat of it, for that day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, we know the serpent to be the devil. So now, the very first two people that God had created or made, they was disobedient to what God said do. For the devil said, ye shall not surely die. Be careful when people try to quote scripture to you to tell you what God said that you ought to do. And if you're not knowledgeable enough to know exactly what's supposed to be said, then you just sort of hear it and then go and read it for yourself before you take it to be the law. Because now, had she realized that he had just sort of changed a couple things. And we got to learn that when we serve the Lord our God, we got to do it the same way God said do it. We can't do things our own kind of way. But we got to learn how to do it the way that God said do it. The devil has a way of turning things around. He has a way of making you believe that it goes this way when you should have went that way. And because of this, man fell to sin. Disobedience and sin came into the world, and so man had to die. So because man had to die, Jesus had to die and defeat the last enemy, which is death. The Bible said, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Now, we left Friday with Jesus being put in the tomb. The reason why he was put in the tomb was because he had already died. Now, in our scripture reading this morning, we find that he said that he had gotten thirsty. And when he got thirsty, they put a sponge up with vinegar. But instead of drinking the vinegar, he said, it is finished, and bowed his head down. And the Bible says he gave up the ghost. So they didn't kill him. He gave up his own ghost. When they pierced him in the side, the Bible declared that he was already dead. So they didn't have the power to kill him. They were under the assumption that they killed him. They went through the motion. He went through the trial. He was convicted. He went to Calvary. He was hung high, stretched wide, and he was there. But they did not kill my Lord. My God got up as he hung there on the cross. And he began to say, it is finished. It's time for me to go on to yonder. But the Bible declared when he said that it was finished, that they began to look at him. And they began to break the other legs of the one beside him. Realizing that on the Sabbath day, that they couldn't have anybody hanging on the cross. But they had to get them down before nightfall. But the Bible declares that they broke the legs on the left. They broke the legs on the right. But when they got to Jesus, they said he's already dead. But the Bible said that one of them stuck up a spear, pierced him in the side. When they pierced him in the side, water and blood came streaming down. And for that I tell God, thank you. Oh, I thank God. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I come to tell you this morning that death did have no power. For even though death came into life, I thank God for Jesus, for he took the power over death. He took the sting out of death. He did just what he said he was going to do. He died on Friday, but on the third day, he got up, up out of the grave, just like he said that he would. Got up with all power in his hand, because he realized that flesh and blood cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So I got to be changed. I got to get out of this mortal body. I got to get back into the immortal body. I got to get back into my spirit, man. I done come in the flesh, but now I'm back to being the spirit man. When I am the spirit man, can't nobody do nothing with me. The Bible says that we cannot enter into heaven in these bodies of ours. For the Bible declares, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, when the last trump shall sound, I heard that the dead in Christ, they're going to be raised first. They're going to be raised incorruptible, and they shall be changed. For the corruptible shall put on incorruption. The mortal shall put on immortality. When the corruptible shall put on incorruption, and the mortal shall put on immortality, death is swallowed up in victory. Death don't have no power. Hallelujah. My God got up out the grave. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The victory of sin is death, but the strength of sin is the law. I thank God that the law don't have no power. The law died with Jesus. But my Savior, early, early, early Sunday morning, he was already up. He was already walking. He was already walking. He took the power, the ultimate power, the ultimate victory over death. Death don't have the victory, but God got the victory. God got the victory. And of that victory, victory is mine. So said the Lord my God. I thank God. I thank God. The Bible declares that on those last seven words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Thou shalt thou be with me in paradise. Woman, behold thy son. Behold thy mother. My God, my God. Why hast thou forsaken me? I thirst. It is finished. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. They're not killing me. I'm going to die because that's what you sent me to do. I'm going to die so that my people can have hope. I'm going to die so I can show them that death has no power. There's victory over death. If you want to answer, if you want to win me, call Lazarus. Lazarus was saying, I know that I was dead, but I heard my name being called by the master. He said, Lazarus, come forth. Thought I was dead, but I got up out the grave, and I walk to my Savior. Don't you know? Don't you know that there's something about this victory that ought to make you have some kind of joy? Victory is ours. For he had the ultimate victory over death. That scripture, a lot of times we use it at funeral services because it deals with death. Easter deals with death. But the climax of Easter, death is just left. You ought to visualize, Jesus, how they had pierced him, nailed him, beat him, spit on him, put a crown of thorns on his head, pressed it down until the blood came streaming down. And as if that wasn't enough, even after he died, they were mean enough to stick a spear in his side. Now, he took all of that punishment for us. Nobody that you know, your mama, your daddy, your grandma, did nobody do that for you but Jesus. Rem K, Rem somebody, Rem nobody, did nobody do that for you but Jesus. Could you imagine when they took him to the grave? And I know I'm supposed to be finished, but I'm really feeling this morning. But when they took him to the grave and they rolled the big stone and closed it up, if you were a believer, if you were anywhere in the midst, could you feel how heavy your heart would be when you see your Lord, the one that you were depending on to work a miracle in your life, the one that you were hoping that was going to heal your sick body, the one that you said that he was going to never leave, but he's gone now. All day Saturday, hearts were heavy. You know how it is when we lose a loved one. But you know what? Little did they know that if you really believe what he said, that's why when they went to check the tomb, first thing, the rock already gone. Look at God. They tell me that when they looked in, the burial clothes were laying there like somebody just stepped out of them. Look at you. The power. The power. And the Bible says that they began to wonder who stole his body. Couldn't nobody do nothing with Jesus. But Jesus showed himself. He said, look at the prints in my hands. Look in my side. That was confirmation that this is really Jesus. It wasn't just words. People, I'm not saying just words. But death has no more power. Now, when Jesus comes, there's going to be some that have not died. Those that haven't died, you still got to go through a transformation, because the mortal body can't go to glory. So even those that are alive is going to be changed. Now, if you are so into yourself that you don't want to be changed, I feel sorry for you. Because there's going to come a time that you want to see some changes in your life. There's power in that name, Jesus. And all I want you to know this morning, if you trust his word, do know that just like Jesus, we have been appointed a time that we are going to die. But if you die as a believer, death has no power over your body. Let us die with hope this morning that the Lord our God will do just what he said that he'd do.